Amen. Well, this lesson here, I've started studying and I looked at it and I'm like, well, this would be interesting. So, but the title of this lesson is The Window, The Perfect Escape from Sin. Because there's only been three times in the Bible, entirety of the Bible, somebody actually escaped through a window. And we're going to look at all three instances and you'll realize why it's titled like that. Brother Brian, I want you to look up Joshua 2:16 or 6 through 15. Dad?
What? Jason?
Mom?
A 6.
Joshua 2:6-15 is the first part of it. Dad, I want you to look up 1 Samuel 19:11 and 12. Miss Tara? 2 Corinthians 11:32-33.
16-15?
No, sir. It's 6-15. Joshua 2. Whenever you're ready. There you see this first mention of them escaping through a window. All right, Rahab, she was not Rahab the harlot. She understood the implications that the two spies had. She knew why they were there. But I want to raise a question right here, and I just now realized this even while I was studying it. How did she know why they were there? Think about it for a minute. How? Because right there it states clearly, she knew. She already knew why they was there. But how did she come to know that knowledge? Could they told her? Well, it doesn't say. But one thing is clear, she listened to what them two men told her. Later on down in the chapter, you'll actually find where she hung the scarlet thread out the window, which is actually a picture of the blood sacrifice of Israel. Because when you think about it, Christ, his blood will run from beginning to end. It's a scarlet thread that ties it all together. So when she hung that scarlet thread out her window, it was a sign showing that she was safe. So, like I said, a window they used to escape. They were escaping for their lives. So, in essence, if God gives you a window opportunity, take it. Because sometimes that window might not open again. And I've actually learned this through my love for hunting. And Dad can't even say it, even testify to it. Sometimes you only get one time. Right, Dad? Once. One time. That's it. So you got to learn to take it when you get it. Might not be how you want it, but he'll let you have opportunity one way or another. But that's what he done with these two spies. God gave them an opportunity not only to save Rahab, but also in return, Rahab saved their life. So, really, it was a win-win situation. She chronologically orders everything they'd done up to that point, from the crossing of the Red Sea, all the way up to when they were fighting with the Amorites. Well, that's earlier on in the books. But you got to realize, a lot of this stuff back then was done by messenger, runners. And my somewhat love of history, I've learned that messengers used three major ways. One was by runner, by a person running. Another is by carts, when they would travel, and by caravan. The last one was by horseback, and that was only reserved for the kings. They could send a personal messenger to king in a matter of a couple of days if they needed to get a message through. And the messengers were also ordered to destroy any and all letters if they were captured at any point, surrounded, did not matter. So that was one of the things that I realized. You're the messenger. You're the last resort. He's wanting you to go out yonder and give his messages to someone who needs it. And when you get your window opportunity, go ahead and take it. Dad, please read that in 1 Samuel for us, would you? All right, right here in 1 Samuel. I was just speaking of the messenger. Or right here, Saul sent messengers unto David's house. He pretty much was, Paul's pretty much, or Saul's trying pretty much hem up David to a point where he got nowhere to go. And me being raised somewhere on a farm, if you hem up an animal, and mom and Aunt Mara understands what I mean by this, you pretty much put it in a corner it can't come out of. Any which way you want to turn that dice. It's hard for the animal to get past you. So really, he's trying to force David's hand one way or another. David said, nope, I'm out. So he went out the window. It was the only way he could get out of the place without being seen, for one. Because that messenger, if he saw David leaving, he was supposed to report straight back to Saul. Second of all, he had someone cover for him. And actually mentions that on down in the next verse. And thirdly, he fled from the sea and escaped with his life. So God let him live for another day. So there's another picture. Not only God gave us eternal life, but he allows us to escape from our sin by the blood washing of the blood. Any which way you want to look at it. Not only that, he's also our protector. He guards us no matter where, no matter how, no matter how long. If we stand beside him, what can really get to you? So, but let's flip on back into 2 Corinthians here.
Jackson, before we go to that, real quick, if you don't mind, it's just coming to my mind, but, you know, we have got, our faith can be up on a mountain and then down our mind. Let me just say it for myself. And then down in a valley. Now, David, go back to verse 5. And he did put his life in his hand, and he slew the Philistine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was up on the, I mean, the way you read this, he didn't hesitate at all to go before the giant. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But then with Saul there, when his wife told him, hey, if you don't leave tonight, they're going to kill you in the morning. You know, it makes me think of my faith, I guess I'll put it for myself, how we can be up, I can be up on a mountain, and then the next thing you know, I can have one of them Debbie Downer days, you know, where poor pitiful Margaret Bryant's up there laughing at you, but I mean, sometimes that's the way I feel, you know what I'm saying, I'll be up, and then I'm down, you know, so.
But now, right here, I'm actually going to expand on this a little bit, being a layer lesson with David, but if you actually read later on, Saul was in the same cave with David. And David had 600 men. Think about this. How did Saul and his entire military force not even see David? They would have stuck out from them rocks like a sore thumb. That's what I mean. When David, when he fled, he not only was fleeing for his life, but he was also trusting in what God could do. Because he even put, even let Jonathan, he actually loved Jonathan as a brother. Well, that right there was going to come back to help David later on. Because every time Saul would go out, Jonathan would send word, letting David know where he would be. So in the whole thing, it was like a chess match, so to speak. And anybody who knows how to play chess, I don't know really how. But every move that Saul made, David countered without even training one blow nor one spear or arrow. So he pretty much was trying to defeat Saul without really fighting him. In the cave, he actually finally had enough. He pretty much said, enough is enough, took a piece of his garment and said, checkmate, and been done with it. When Saul realized just how close he was with him, that's when God opened Saul's eyes and realized, hey, you're messing with somebody I care about. So I want you to see what I can do. So that's my expansion on that one for a little bit for the time being. But Ms. Tara, I ask you for 2 Corinthians 11. 32 through 33.
In a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands.
And that's the third time. That's the third time that somebody escaped through a window. I never realized it, but there was only 3 times this is ever mentioned. Escaping through a window. Well, this in here deals with Paul. But if you actually read above that, which I covered a couple of weeks back, he gives you an actual ledger of everything he went through from start to finish, and then he escapes out the window and goes, pretty much evades the king's hand. Who does that sound like? The 2 spies and David. History repeated itself, not once, not twice, but 3 separate times. But right here, it actually says this place here was a garrison. A garrison of soldiers is roughly 300, 400, 500 soldiers at the most, roughly, because a garrison ain't really a fort. It's just an outpost, really. So it ain't going to have very many soldiers, but it will be well defended, period, bar none, also well kept. But it said, and through a window in a basket. And the others, it actually said, I went out, or we were let down through a window. You ever realize that, Dad? He switches the way it was worded around on the last time it's ever mentioned. I never realized that. Yeah. Go back if you don't believe me and look at it. It's always before they're let down through a window. But this time it says, and I quote, and through a window. Every time it always put them first. Right here, he switches it to where it said through a window. It was specific. So it says why he was let down, to escape his hands. He was escaping the king's hand, just like the 2 spies. And just like David. Not only that, he also was running for his life. But he knew God had a plan for him. So, that's one thing about Paul as unique. But What still fascinates me the most is that Paul didn't have one complaint, no iota, against God for what happened to him. He still happily served him. The last two chapters in Acts, which Acts doesn't have no ending, which thankfully for me, my dad's got the material I need to study on stuff. But in 27, he takes over a vessel he had no right to take over. But God gave him that power. That was a slave ship or prisoner ship he was on. He took control of it. Why? Doesn't say. For what purpose? To keep every man alive, pretty much. Because it says, and there stands by me this night. He didn't say last night or tomorrow night. He said this night. Specifics. The angel of God, for whose I am and for whom I serve. So you got to realize, God's given you an opportunity. Take it. That window ain't going to be open long. Then it's going to shut. And when it does, it's that quick. Without question. So whenever you see an opportunity to witness, jump in both feet plowing. Because like I've said before in the past, and I will still reference this, and Mama Aunt Margaret, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if one team of horses, if one's pulling more than the other, they ain't going to stay in a straight line. That's how you and God got to be. You got to be like a team of horses. You got to both be pulling the same load, same bearing of the same weight. But he's going to ease that load up some, helping you out. But you got to let him. I've actually walked this road many a time. And I've said it once before, I'll say it again. I've seen God's hand with my own eyes more times than I care to count. And one of them times was back when Mom and Dad had COVID. I still remember it, clear as daylight. General, it was dealing with you. I've actually said this several times to several people. Mom was in the bed that day. I still remember it. Cold as all get out. Dad was in the hospital. Well, I looked at Mom. I said, I wish I had me some chili right now. That would be something I really wish I could get myself. But I knew she couldn't fix it. I knew that. A few minutes later, Mom's phone rings. She picks it up. General, I still remember your voice clear as a bell. Tell that boy to walk out yonder. Look on the steps of that porch, back porch. Walk out there and it was a whole crock pot full of chili, along with cornbread.
That's when everybody was so scared to be around everybody.
So when I say I've seen the hand of God, I've seen the hand of God. 2015 with my grandmother, Grand Line. I still remember it, clear as daylight. Because I still remember Mom and you, Aunt Margaret. Y'all was pretty tore up about it. They actually went in, and she was bleeding so much they couldn't sew her back together. Well, Dad actually prayed a prayer. I can't remember where it found in the Bible. Dad does. But I still remember it. He prayed it that night, the very next morning, they was able to stitch her up. Bleeding completely stopped through the night. So when I say I've seen the hand of God with my own eyes, I've seen it. There's actually a song called I've Seen the Rain. And you know who I'm talking about. It's by a man by the name of Ken Calloway. Matter of fact, his songs are on YouTube Music now. Matter of fact, I've actually got both of the songs he sings. God will give you a song dealing with Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Then God will, and I've seen the rain, which is dealing with a drought when Elijah prayed for rain. I got them both on my phone. And I will listen to them when I need them the most. But I've seen the rain. I've seen God's blessings flow. In this building, I've seen it. Because I've seen this place here go from the ground up with my own two eyes. I've seen it when somebody walked into the bank down yonder, paid this building slap off, no questions asked, didn't want to even know whoever it was. They didn't want to know anyone, knew it was them. Every time we needed something in that old building, I still remember. Y'all men, original men, would get in that altar and pray. And I still remember it. So, this here is my lesson. The window, the perfect escape from sin. If y'all want to add to it, please do. This here is open to discussions. But not only that, but the first time the word window is ever mentioned in the Bible is in with Noah's Ark, when he built the one window in the ark. But if you actually look a little bit further back, just a smidge, you'll actually find, again, it doesn't directly say it, but the windows of heaven. You gotta also realize, I've done a pretty good bit of studying on some of this stuff. Dug in deep.
Jason, I got a question. You may answer it, Mike or David or Brian, somebody, anybody might be able to answer it. But you know, I think about these men coming. Now, she had already heard these things that God had done for them. So maybe she was just, and I think somewhere there, I'm just trying to glance over it really quickly. But she had heard, let me see, in verse 11, she says something about, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. So she had done heard what God had done ahead of time. Is that why she took these men in, or do you think that she would have been scared?
Well, right here, I believe it's actually a mixture of both sides. I believe she was somewhat scared, but she understood they wasn't really trying to harm her. They were just there to gather information, which is nowadays what we call surveillance and reconnaissance missions. That's pretty much what a spy was back then, a reconnaissance officer. He's only thing he's after is information. That's it. Most of the time, they will be armed, but most of the time they'll slip in and slip out before anybody knows they're there. They get wherever they need and they pretty much pull the pin, haul tail out of there. Because most of the time, that right there, you get caught trying to gather reconnaissance and you're pretty much paying the price with your life. And a good example of that in American history here is Nathan Hill. Nathan Hill, he was 16 years old when he walked to the gallows. The British hung him for espionage and spying. And the one word that still sticks with me today is his quote. They asked him, what's your last words? He said, my only regret is I've only got one life to give for my country. 16 when he died. But that's what he was doing. He was gathering up information and trying to get to the Continental Army. That's pretty much what the two spies were trying to do. Get the information and get back to Joshua.
I think Rahab recognized that their God was the true God. And so whatever was going to take place was going to take place because that was their God.
For a woman, would you be scared? But then, like you said, Tara, she Yeah, she probably did, you know, so.
Yeah, and she might have been, I mean, I'm sure she was a little scared too, not, you know, anxious what's happening, but she recognized that this God is with them. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen for them. They're the ones that God is with.
Well, let me ask another question, and this is going further than you went with that, Jason, but in verse 15, she let them down by a cord. But then Joshua tells her, let me see if I can find it, in the verse, but it's about a binding or a binding cord. Is there any significance, anybody between shut down with and then the binding cord that Joshua told her to do, the binding cord to save the family?
And that is in verse 18 you're looking at, General. Yes, ma'am. And all that is when you think of a binding cord, a lot of us would think of like tying something. But here's your one thing. Back then, when you would say you were binding something, it not only meant you were also taking and putting it to something and tying it to something, but also could mean it was weaved together. It was bound. But, when you look at it in 18, you'll find it had one thing added, that scarlet thread. She bound the scarlet thread inside that cord. Well, Dad and Brother Barnett probably be more better suited to answer this question because I wouldn't understand it myself unless I'd done the studying on it myself. But what did I mention while I was doing that verse, them verses? Jesus Christ, God Almighty, he's a scarlet thread that ties beginning to the end. He says in Revelation, not one, not twice, three times, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which means he'll be here. He was here when it begun. He will be here when it ends. He speaks two words. Everything we know is erased, and that is be gone. It'll happen that fast. But what a lot of people don't realize, remember what I said at the beginning? It's only mentioned three times. Three is a Trinity. Am I not right, Brother Barnett? Three is a Trinity. And it's only mentioned, the escape through a window is only mentioned three times. But right there, General, you threw something out right there I didn't even realize. I'm starting to think, and this here is just my thoughts. You can agree, disagree, or find out if it's true or not. But that bounded core, I believe you're right on that. It was a threefold bind. Because it had the first two, then it had that scarlet thread in the center of it as a proof to show that she helped them. And that scarlet would stick out like a sore thumb, would it not, through that entire bind? But that was actually a good thought that she had. Anybody else? Brother Brian, would you please dismiss?